Heavenly Father, it is my prayer at this time that the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, the hearing and understanding of those present would be acceptable in your sight now and forevermore. Amen. Well, last weekend I was in prison. It was awesome. I can't wait to go back. I want to talk to you for a minute about ministry. You see, we as Christians are called to ministry, each and every one of us, of some kind. We're not all called to go into prisons. We're not all called to feed the homeless. We are all called to something. Something. And anyone who is here, who has ever been involved in any kind of ministry, can say with me that we probably got more out of it than we put in. Am I right? Amen. I know Bob teaching Bible study and Pastor Ed teaching Bible study in Sunday school, you learn so much more. And I know with Leonard, when he was running the thrift store down in Bellevue, you got more out of that than something to do on Saturday morning, did you not? Still do. It's all part of the discipleship. And I get so much more, I think, going into the prison and meeting with these men. I mean, these guys are getting a lot because a lot of them are coming away from the weekend with salvation and eternal assurance of heaven. Praise God. But I'm getting a lot out of it too. And I'm glad I have the opportunity to share with you today some of my experiences that I had in prison that are part of what lasts, part of what really lasts with me. I know a few months ago, I had asked everyone if they would pray for a man named Angel who was in the prison. He came to know the Lord just last fall in November. And very shortly after coming to know the Lord, he came to discover that he had cancer. For those of you who don't know the story, it progressed quite rapidly. Within about 4 months, he was hospitalized. Within about 4 months of his coming to know the Lord, he was hospitalized. His dying wish was that he would be allowed to share the gospel with his son, who was also in prison. He was in the same prison, but he was in a different cell block, and their paths would never cross. He was not allowed to see his son before he died a couple months ago. However, his family came up from, from North Carolina to see him. His family was allowed to see him before he died. But I did have the pleasure this past weekend of meeting a man who had come into the prison last November. His first cellie was Angel. And within an hour of their meeting, Angel said to him, "Let me tell you about Jesus Christ." That young man came to know the Lord through Angel. As a matter of fact, there were two other men there this weekend who came to know the Lord through Angel. You know how when football season comes around, we put on like our jerseys, our sports jerseys with the name of some other guy on the back that we think is really cool, and we pretend that we have something to do with the football game? You know how we do that? We don't do that so much at baseball season around here in Pittsburgh, but football season, hockey season, we do those kind of things. I want a jersey that says Angel on the back, because he's one of my heroes. 4 months a Christian. I met three men who came to know the Lord through him. I'm pretty sure there were others. I got to meet three. One of those men assured me that he's going to make sure that Angel's son hears the gospel. His work continues. 4 months. 4 months. There was another fellow, I think I asked Robin to bring prayer to. You mentioned a gentleman called Chino. He's a Native American. He was interested in Christianity. I think he was there for the weekend mostly for the cookies. Because we give these guys cookies. You know what? In prison, you don't get cookies. You don't get cookies in prison. Some of these guys were there. You know, everybody, there's like an interview process. These guys get, you know, they have to talk to somebody. They have to fill out some forms like you do everywhere. And there's an interview process to make sure that these guys are really serious. A lot of these guys lie to get into the program because they want the cookies. And in fact, some of the guys who are recruiting, you know, in the yard talk about, hey, you gotta go to this Kairos thing. Oh yeah, why? What's it about? They got cookies. They got cookies and coffee. You gotta go to this. Okay. Some of the guys I know, because they'll eventually admit, yeah, I lied to get in here, I just wanted the cookies. They get so much more than cookies. But this man was one of those. I mean, he was kind of interested in Christianity, but he was a Native American. And he had said on Saturday that, you know, I'm interested in Christianity, but if I accept Jesus, I'm betraying my father. My father was a Native American, and if I accept Jesus, and if I do not follow the path of the red man, I am betraying my father. Well, there was another Native American there who stood up and said to him, I too am a Native American. I follow Jesus Christ. Our fathers knew God. Our fathers knew the Holy Spirit. Somehow they missed Jesus. Accepting Jesus Christ is not betraying your father. Accepting Jesus Christ is not betraying the path of the red man. Sunday morning, Chino accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. He signed the paperwork that would allow him to attend Christian services and took from him the right to worship with the Native Americans. You see, in the prison system, you're allowed one religion. You have to choose it when you come in, and there are circumstances on the inside that will allow you to change that. Kairos is one of those. Unfortunately, he won't be worshiping with his Native American brothers, but he will be worshiping with his Christian brothers. Amen. There's a lot of sports jerseys I want to get with people's names on them. The thing I think I learned that was the most important, though, this past weekend, and I'll admit right off that I'm not perfect. I don't pretend to be. Shame on me if I ever do pretend to be. I learn all the time in these experiences. The gentleman who was our leader for the weekend chose the following scripture verse from Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. So we always go in with a particular scripture verse. The person who leads this program is a layman. There are clergy along for various reasons, a lot of which has to do with, you know, maybe there's some questions that they can't answer. But we have an opportunity as clergy to spend one-on-one time with the inmates, and they are allowed to make confessions to us that we cannot be compelled to answer for in court. A layman would be required to. We're not, at least not yet. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. I couldn't tell you how many times I had read that, and how many times after reading that I would say amen. But it got put to the test for me last weekend a little bit. You see, when we started our training, we meet on several Saturdays ahead of time, getting ready for this, doing team building exercises and praying together and getting to know one another. It's a really good experience for this team that's going in, because we really are a team. When I got there, I met with the other clergy and Father Dan, who's an Anglican priest, who was our spiritual leader for the weekend. said, well, who wants to give what talks and what meditations? There's five clergy, and there's 11 talks and meditations. So he looks at me first, and he says, well, what do you want to do? I said, I'm here to serve. Set me up with whatever you want to set me up with. So out of 11 talks and meditations, I ended up with a 10-minute meditation that was basically a history lesson about who Jesus Christ is. A simple 10-minute meditation. And like I said, we spend time in there on the weekends where the residents are allowed to request time alone with one of the clergy for counseling, confession, prayer, whatever. And this past weekend, I was never called away once. I was never requested for time on my own. And you know what? It got to me. It really got to me. I started throwing myself a little pity party Saturday afternoon. And Saturday night, as I was getting ready to sleep on the floor of a church, I began to pray. And I said, you know what, Lord, I don't think I'm doing anything here this weekend. As a matter of fact, I'm thinking about not going in on Sunday. I'll just pack my stuff up when I get up in the morning and go home. I was ready. And I got smacked in the head. One of a few times in my life, I have very clearly heard the voice of God. He said to me, I have a plan. Get back to work. Yes, sir. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. If I had left, I would have missed all that good stuff. In fact, I would still probably be worried about the biggest concern I had over the entire weekend. You see, on Thursday afternoon when we first met with the guys, I met this one man who was a disciple of a certain false prophet that shows up on TV all the time. I don't want to mention the man's name, but his initials are Benny Hinn. And this man is trying to convince me, and I don't know why, he just grabbed a hold of me and was trying to convince me that the Lord wants your first fruits. He says to me, do you understand what that means, your first fruits? I said, well, in Scripture they're talking about the first fruits being our tithe, the 10% off the top. He says, no, that's not it. The Lord wants your first paycheck of the year, the whole thing. And then you start tithing. No wonder Benny Hinn's rich. He's got all these people giving them their first paycheck of the year. We were reminded on Thursday night by the lay leader of the weekend that we're not here to fix people. So I went to our spiritual leader, Father Dan, and I said, I know we're not supposed to fix people here, but what if they really need fixed? He says, fix them. I spent the whole rest of the weekend looking for an opening to talk to this man. And you know what? I didn't need to. I listened to him. He got all of this stuff off of his chest. And one of the big things about Kairos is the stress on the fact that Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you so much that he died for you. Amen. Now, at the end of the weekend, this man said to me, you know, I've been paying attention to what's said. I've been hearing all this about how much Jesus loves me. You know what? I never heard Benny say that. I need a new pastor. Hallelujah. It was a good weekend. We had 28 men in our group. 28. We usually have 30. But the week before, this last time, one of them made parole. And one of them ended up in the hole. And he's going to be there for 6 months. We usually have alternates, but none of the alternates all decided they weren't interested in coming. So we had 28 men. And by Sunday, these 28 men either accepted Christ or reaffirmed commitments that they had already made. And now they're let loose in the prison to preach the gospel to men who have no hope, just as they did. A couple of these men will be getting out soon, within the next year. And they now have hope for when they get out because of this ministry, because we took the time to go in and tell them about the love of Jesus Christ. I'll never forget the first time I was in there. There was one man who stood up on Sunday, and we have this closing service on Sunday where the men get to get up and say something about what the weekend meant to them. He stood up and he said, "You know, I've been in and out of the prison system since I was 10 years old when I committed my first armed robbery." 10 years old. He was 35 years old, and he was due to get out in a couple months. He said that his plan was, as soon as he got out of prison, he would find the nearest convenience store and hold it up so that he could get arrested again, so that he could go back inside, because that's all he knew. After the weekend, he decided he was going to try to make it on the outside. He said he knew it would be hard, but he would try. We were there once at the prison for an event, and the gentleman who runs the, what's the program called? He runs a lot of the programs there, program director maybe, I don't know. Mr. Rogers, and that was his hood. He pointed out to us an interesting statistic that actually none of us knew. A person who is released from prison has an 80% chance of returning. Am I right, Pastor Ed? I don't know if you know the exact numbers, but based on your experience as a police officer, about 80% of them are coming back. The men who have been through the Kairos program, when they are released, they are 20% likely to come back. Wouldn't it be great if we could get more people into these programs? I would ask you to pray for the Kairos program, not only for here in Pennsylvania, but across the country and around the world. I think Kairos is now in 28 states in the United States and 17 different countries and growing. Right now in Western Pennsylvania, we have groups going into Green and Albion, the women's prison up near Erie. We have been invited into SCI Fayette, and we're trying to build our numbers so that we can get in there. Please be in prayer for the Kairos program. And if any of you gentlemen are interested in a fulfilling ministry, talk to me. Again, I don't know if prison ministry is not for everybody. And I'm not going to tell anybody what their ministry is, and shame on anyone who tries to tell you what your ministry is. But if it is something you might be interested in, we can have some words. We can talk about it. It is a very fulfilling ministry. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. I didn't think I was doing anything. I didn't think I was doing any good. I got discouraged. I was ready to quit. We all get that way sometimes. When that happens to you, try to remember the story I told you today. Amen.